To the brightest audience in the country. Welcome to Bob and Yurt Live. I'm the pastor of Denver Bible Church. Today, more on Hurricane Harvey, more on pot, and my Viceland TV network interview in New York City about marijuana, and an update on North Korea and Venezuela. So beginning with Hurricane Harvey. The main thing from yesterday's program, similar to our eclipse shows and the Blood Moon program we did a year ago, was that folks wanted to hear more about Christians who are superstitious and immature, reading meaning into natural disasters and natural occurrences. But before we talk about that, we also need to do a straight news update on what's going on down in Texas. The number of deaths attributed to Harvey and the flooding have now doubled to at least 10. The 10th was a man north of Houston who tried to swim across a flooded road, and he drowned, tragically. And as we said, even more neighborhoods now, ones that were still not flooded as of yesterday afternoon, have become inundated. Sadly, that has happened. For the first time, water has been flowing over a dam. It's at the Attucks Reservoir, which is just west of Houston. Some weather stations have stopped their automatic reporting of the amount of rainfall. Why would that be? Well, it's because the floodwaters have risen higher than the rain sensors. If you put a rain sensor on the ground, and let's say it's 2 feet off the ground or 3 feet off the ground, and you get more than 3 feet of rain, then it can no longer continue to function, obviously. More than a dozen locations have reported between 40 and 50 inches of rain, with 49 and a half inches at a place called Mary's Creek. Now, the superstitious among us must think that God is punishing the Roman Catholics, because he poured the most water on Mary's Creek. Santa Fe, Texas, has had 45 inches. Think of that. Not of snow, but of water. That's almost 4 feet of water falling out of the sky. If that were snow, that'd be almost 40 feet of snow. Everyone would be crushed and frozen to death instead of sopped and cold. Right outside of Houston's main weather station, they've had 42 inches of rain. More than 20 other Texas locations have reported 20 to 40 inches. And the weather forecast for today, just today, calls for 3 more inches of rain. Normally, if you get 3 inches of rain in a day, it's dramatic. Causes flooding in thousands of cities and towns across the country. If you get 3 inches in a day, this is 3 inches on top of days and days of catastrophic flooding. So Louisiana is also getting hard hit, with a dozen locations getting 10 to 15 inches of rain. The cost estimates for Harvey are up to $40 billion. That's still far short of hurricanes Katrina and Sandy, but obviously, the suffering, the heartache is hard to comprehend. So, of course, we must help. We should find a way. As yesterday, when I mentioned that the large institutional giving organizations are often heavily political, heavily politically correct, they often have agendas that are immoral and anti-Christian. And so it's best to find a way for you to help someone directly, individually, you to another person, your family to another family, your church to another church. There's, of course, Franklin Graham and Samaritan's Purse. They have tremendous credibility. So if you think that's the best way for you to help, then that's a perfectly viable option. With Katrina, for example, we knew of a number of families in Louisiana. Of course, I was on TV in New Orleans for years. On what channel was it down there? Channel 20 for an hour, five nights a week. And whenever I did a seminar in Louisiana in various locations, I'd be invited on their AM 800 WSHO. We'd have a wonderful time. Seminars were always packed. So we have a lot of friends in Louisiana, especially in the New Orleans area. And one family had just purchased a work truck. This is a mom and a dad, kids, homeschool family, strong Christians. It was just before Katrina struck. You know, a lot of Christians, the superstitious kind, the immature kind, they said that God hit New Orleans because of all the perversion there, homosexuality. There's an annual event called Southern Decadence, so God was punishing them. And we pointed out on this show that, well, that's mostly the French Quarter and the homosexual half of the French Quarter. And the French Quarter was mostly spared. It's high grounded. It got minimal damage. So, and it missed Southern Decadence by, what, a week or so? So God has perfect aim. If God wanted to destroy the French Quarter, he could have done it. But instead, it was mostly the poor and the elderly who suffered the worst. So when you speak for God and God hasn't spoken, the Bible warns us about that. And today, we do not have prophets as existed during the time of the Old Testament. When God was speaking through prophets, he had a standard. And he said, if the prophet fails to meet that standard, he is to be put to death. So there was a consequence. Today, there is no consequence. And the prophets who are the worst, that is, they're all false, but the ones who get things the most dramatically wrong are the ones who are the most famous and make the most money off of it. I mean, generally speaking. Just like with atheists, the most famous atheists are the ones who say the greatest absurdities with the straightest face, right? Like Richard Dawkins, who says that everything came from nothing, but nothing was something that we're trying to figure out how to define it, what it was. So the same thing with superstitious Christians and immature Christians. They gravitate toward teachers who say the most absurd things. It's just the way of human flesh. And even as Christians, we've not been delivered from our flesh. We get delivered from our flesh when we see the Lord. And what a great time that will be. So at any rate, with Katrina, there was a family that we knew of that had just purchased a work truck, and then devastation hit. And so we talked to them. We thought through how could we help. And so we met their truck payments for some period of time. I'd have to ask them how long or go back and look at our records. And it was some months or maybe a year or so. And we found other ways to help people who suffered from that natural disaster. So those are good ways to help. Individuals helping individuals. Less institutional giving and more direct giving if possible. And if you're going to give through an organization, then make sure it is a Christian organization that is above reproach. Okay. Oh, and by the way, interpreting events like the weather, Christians disagree with one another in extreme ways when they're interpreting the Bible. And the Bible is literary. It's the Word of God. It has vocabulary and lexicon definitions of words and rules of grammar and a literary context. So interpreting words is much easier than interpreting events, than interpreting weather, than interpreting chicken entrails or tea leaves, Right? Superstitious people will do that. Like, you know, the Creole spiritists or the Haitian voodoo practitioners. That's the kind of thing that they will do. They'll look at the bottom of a teacup and look at the tea leaves and try to interpret what does that mean. Or they'll kill a chicken and dump its entrails into the sink or into a tub, and they'll try to interpret something about life, their situation, their future from the entrails, the way they fell out of the chicken. So Christians who try to interpret events, like I was driving to my job interview and my car broke down. So what is God telling me? Well, maybe that you're irresponsible at taking care of your car. And someone else who was more responsible would have gotten to the interview. Maybe that. You know, Augustine, who was incredibly superstitious, St. Augustine, he wrote in his Confessions of Augustine, "Why is God giving me this toothache?" It was driving him insane. And I could understand a toothache being very difficult. But why did he have a toothache? Well, Augie, probably because you eat too many sweets and you don't brush your teeth, okay? That's probably why. Because people who have better dental hygiene, they have fewer toothaches. So if God really had been punishing people with cavities, isn't it funny that floss can derail that whole plan, that divine plan? Floss, Colgate, Listerine. So this is all superstitious. This is all unbiblical. This is all false. Yes, there were times when God intervened and punished people. That doesn't mean that every time it rained, that God was in the rain. Remember the prophet Elijah? He said there was a whirlwind, there was an earthquake, there's a fire, and God was not in the whirlwind. God was not in the earthquake. But then there was a still small voice. So, believe it or not, you are not more spiritual when you look for divine messages in the weather. That doesn't mean you're more spiritual. It means God looks on you, and even though he loves you, he shakes his head and he thinks, "I'm really looking forward to the time when this child of mine grows up, because then we could have a much better relationship." And so much of what we do here at Bob and Yurt Live is designed to help us all, me too, my family, our church, Denver Bible Church, to help us to grow and mature in the ways of the Lord. As the book of Hebrews says, you're all stuck on milk. You need to be able to eat meat, but you're stuck on the milk. And today, we've gone backwards since then. Today, the church is not stuck on the milk. Today, the church is lactose intolerant. It can't handle the milk. Today, the milk is too mature for the average churchgoer. And that is so sad, but that's the situation that we're in. So you have a Bible teacher, and they're talking about how God was punishing America with Hurricane Harvey. Then you're blessed because you figured out that you're listening to a teacher who's immature. You could call him a false teacher. That might be a bit too strong because he very possibly loves the Lord and is saved, but he's immature and he promotes superstition instead of spirituality. Instead of biblical doctrine and theology, he's giving you the things for itching ears. Ooh, look at those demons and giants and blood moons and all. And hey, are there demons? There sure are demons. But when Christians put demons around every corner, the whole thing becomes more like a cartoon than reality. So with Hurricane Harvey, yesterday we talked about the why natural disasters happen. And we talked about how to help people and then what not to say. And please don't tell people that Hurricane Harvey was God's judgment on Texas because Texas somehow was more evil than San Francisco. Please don't tell them that, okay? Because even if they like you, they'll think in the back of their heads, this person has no credibility. Then when you tell them something about the gospel, they won't believe you then either. And you're harming the ministry of the body of Christ. By the way, on Friday, September 1st, our annual telethon begins, the Bob and Yurt Live telethon, to keep us broadcasting for another year. Vitally important. Our goal is $30,000. We truly hope you consider helping. We don't have a mega church behind us. We don't have a foundation. We've got you guys and the Lord. That's what we have, you guys and the Lord. And the last I checked, the Lord never made a deposit. Did he ever make a deposit into our, I'm asking our office manager, did he ever just make a deposit and add $100,000 to our checking account? No. No, that's not how God works. So I know there's televangelists who explain their great need for funds and that if you give, you'll get back a hundredfold. And you wonder, why don't they just give and get back a hundredfold? Why don't they just do that? Right? They could just do that. They could give you the money and get back a hundredfold. I mean, they'd have more money than the whole world could contain if they believed what they taught, but they don't. Okay. Now, so that's update on Hurricane Harvey. Now on marijuana, we talked yesterday about the Denver Post article about the incredible increase of traffic fatalities in Colorado, up sharply in the years since we've decriminalized pot, and the percentage of drivers in fatal accidents who have marijuana in their system, that has also increased dramatically year after year after year since we decriminalized it, and it has more than doubled. The number of fatalities is up dramatically, and it's all horrific. So we're going to add this news update to our maintained page, kgov.com/pot. Some of our web pages we maintain, like our dinosaur soft tissue page and our creation science predictions page, and so many, like our brain dead recovery page, people who've recovered from being diagnosed as brain dead and then they got better, right? So in fact, at kgov.com/rankings, you could see a list of some of the search terms that we rank. Google ranks us number one or two, maybe three here and there, out of tens of hundreds of thousands or millions of web pages. So we're just ecstatic about that because that increases our discoverability. At any rate, our maintained page on the negative effects of marijuana is at kgov.com/pot. So I mentioned yesterday that Viceland had called. They called us here back in April of 2016, first time, and asking, they were looking for someone. They wanted to do an episode presenting the arguments against smoking pot, because all they'd done in the first season is just week after week, all the benefits of smoking pot. And the host is a pothead. They call him Krishna. That's his name. He's from India. I don't know if he's a Hindu. He's secular, I believe. But they call him Krishna, and he's a pothead. So, of course, they report on all the benefits. So they wanted to do a show presenting at least arguments against marijuana so people could weigh it. That wasn't really why. They wanted to mock the person who was opposing getting high with marijuana. And so the fact that they found me and I'm a Christian, that was like killing two birds with one stone. Because in one episode, they can mock those against marijuana and Christians all at the same time. So later in the summer of last year, they flew me out to New York City and we filmed this episode. The filming went way longer than had been planned. And when I am in such a contest, a disagreement, a debate, you know, I then evaluate, how did I do and how could I improve in the future? And sometimes I do okay. Sometimes I do especially well. With Krishna, I was firing on all cylinders. It was just one of the best times ever. It was like the day that Focus on the Family invited the elders of Denver Bible Church to go down to Colorado Springs, meet with their executive vice president in public policy and their judicial analyst. And it was a firing on all cylinders day. We presented to them Focus on the Strategy. And it was just very powerful. If you've missed that, just go to kgov.com, click on our YouTube channel, and you could see Focus on the Strategy. And I hope if you've never viewed that, I hope you do, because it's just a groundbreaking documentary about what has gone wrong with Christian political strategy and what needs to be done. It's stunning. And the worse things get, the more accurately our predictions since we went on the air a quarter of a century ago, the more it is obvious that those predictions were accurate. Sadly, tragically, we wish that they had failed. But things are the way they obviously were going, and what's worse, the body of Christ is becoming increasingly immoral because of the moral compromises of our leaders. As they were fighting these political battles, they thought they could compromise on do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, and they introduced compromise efforts. And why? To please God? No, to win a temporary political battle. And in the leaders compromising on God's enduring commands, they destroyed the ability of the body of Christ to think clearly about right and wrong. And today we have millions of Christians who cannot even think about right and wrong in biblical terms. They don't even know what a Christian worldview is. So, at any rate, Viceland, they've got Vice News, and they're a satellite cable network, and they've got all different media venues. So they flew me to New York City. We taped the episode, and to this day, they haven't aired it. I don't know if they ever will. But I felt that everything went as well as I could have hoped that it could go. Every topic, every question, every answer, and just made Krishna look like a pothead, which he is a pothead. So how hard could it be to make a pothead look like a pothead? So how they found us, you know, increasingly when people look for the negative effects of marijuana, they're finding kgov.com. Also, the Huffington Post, before Colorado decriminalized marijuana, they held a debate. And everybody at HuffPo, they're all potheads anyway. And I knew that, of course. So they got the lead marijuana attorney in Colorado, Robert Corey, and they were looking for an opponent. And they asked me to debate Robert Corey, and I did that. It's still online. HuffingtonPost.com/Bob Enyart. You put a hyphen between the words. So HuffingtonPost.com/Bob-Enyart. And there's the debate, and then there's the great marijuana debate rebuttal. And we've made the arguments on this show and why marijuana is completely different than alcohol, and how there are tens of millions of people every night, just in America, let alone around the world, but tens of millions of people every night in America who have a glass of wine with their meal. Now, I'm looking at our studio audience. Let me ask some of the individuals. True or false, every night in America, there's tens of millions of people who have a beer with their meal or a glass of wine with their meal, and they don't get drunk. Now, there are plenty of people who get drunk, but yes, everybody is agreeing. Everybody saying, of course. Now, in Colorado, we're up to 1 out of 5 Coloradans smoke pot now. 1 out of 5. Do you think in America There are millions of people every night who smoke pot and don't get high. Well, that's the purpose of smoking pot. Now, you could take prescription, marijuana-based prescription, and not get high because of an actual ailment. We're not talking about that. We're talking about people smoking pot, and they smoke pot to get high. That's its function. And that's why marijuana should be against the law, because it's a risk that we should not have to endure. The gross negligence of people losing control of their faculties. Now they're making bad decisions, and those bad decisions harm others, including their children, including their neighbors, including when they say, as some have said to me, I drive better when I smoke pot. And so the number of people getting killed on Colorado's highways is dramatically increasing, as we reported yesterday, with THC in their bloodstream has doubled in the past 4 years. So at any rate, that was the tip of the iceberg of the arguments I used on the Huffington Post and at Viceland. And if you're interested, kgov.com/pot will give you all that information, a YouTube video, and you might want to share it with your pastor, your kids, your grandkids, your spouse, and so on. Okay. Then Venezuela and North Korea, quick updates. Most of Venezuela's 31 million people are now short of food. Many are desperately so. In Britain, they have a newspaper, The Guardian. They have just published a heart-wrenching report on a 14-year-old girl there, Adriana, who is a prostitute. She works nights to get enough money to buy food for herself, her mother, and her little brother. The number of prostitutes in Venezuela has doubled, they estimate, in just the last couple years. They're getting younger. 12 and 13 is not unusual, and it's almost all because of hunger. So last September 14th, 2006, we said, mark this date. Bob and Yurt Live is calling for a military humanitarian intervention into Venezuela to save a million people, men, women, and children, from starving to death. We're headed there. We're headed there. And don't believe the report that three-quarters of Venezuelans have lost 20 pounds, because that report came from last year. And yet, almost every day, some newspaper repeats it as though it's new news. It's probably over 80% have lost almost 25 pounds. Today, 10 million people, a third of the country, skip one meal every day to give food to their children. And then North Korea. They fired a missile over Japan, scared millions of people there. And remember the main justification for going to war against North Korea, other than them being irresponsible and belligerent, and we shouldn't have to put up with their gross negligence. Other than that, it's because 25 million North Koreans are incarcerated against their will, and they need to be liberated. May God bless you. This is Bob and Yurt inviting you to read our manuscript, The Plot, for an overview of the whole Bible. Call us at 800-836-9278. That's 836-9278.